Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi folks, be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
And right now here is the one, the only, boy are we blessed, Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb. How are you doing today?
I am good.
Good.
You had kind of a nagging cough for a while.
Yeah, it's getting better. I've been working on it for about 6 weeks, so.
Wow. You want a real recipe to get rid of that cough?
I'm afraid to ask.
I can't tell you on the air.
Okay. Maybe later.
Okay.
Oh, it's kind of cold out there. I drove a little slower this morning. Roads are okay, but it's slow.
Yesterday was really slippery.
Yeah. It's 14 degrees out there, and
wow. If
it snows or rains, it's going to be slick.
Do skinny guys like you, short skinny guys, get as cold as us heavier set fat people?
You know, I hate to admit it, but I hate to use this term, as I've gotten older, I don't tolerate the cold as well.
Me neither.
I just don't like
being
cold.
You're a lot older than I am.
Nice try.
Yeah.
I'll never be as old as you.
What do you got for Dr. History?
Well, you know, you mentioned that this is December and Christmas time.
Yep.
You know, we'd like to tell a few stories about Christmas, and this is going to be an Old West Christmas story.
Okay.
That actually happened right now. Very far from where we are right now.
Really?
The City of Rocks.
No kidding.
So you've been to the City of Rocks out there, the other side of Oakley.
Yep.
And Elba and over in that way. So, you know, the City of Rocks stage station was a stop on the Kelton Road to Boise.
Right.
That was one of the stops that they stopped. And it was a good welcome rest stop for people because that was a long haul.
Yeah.
Going clear from Utah to up to Boise.
Yeah.
So
I know occasionally you'll have to stop and cough like I had to for months.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Here we go. Well, okay, now I want you to just imagine this is actually a story told by a young man that was living at the stage station.
Now, where exactly was the station? I know in general terms, but where was it?
If you're driving from Alamo into the City of Rocks.
Right.
Okay, as you head into the City of Rocks, there's a place where you can turn to the left toward the Twin Sisters.
Gotcha.
The Twin Sisters, of course, is that historic landmark.
Right.
On the other side of that, I'm going to say maybe a mile. And off to your left is where the stage station was.
I haven't been there for a long, it's been 30 years.
Right, and there was some logs and foundation still there. I don't know that there's anything there. I haven't been there for a while now.
Okay.
But at one time, you could go over there and see part of the stage station that was still sort of standing there.
Yeah, you know, you had that one program, I don't mean to interrupt, but you had that program on travel by stagecoach. And when you think about travel through there in colder weather.
And we're going to talk about that, actually.
Okay, you go right ahead.
So, now, this is something I want you to picture. This is what the author, or the guy that's telling the story, this is what he says. He says, Christmas Eve, 1875, in this setting of peace and tranquility, was somehow reminiscent of the manger scene almost 2,000 years before.
Wow.
The same bright stars looked down from above. As you stood in the distance, the silhouette outline of a rustic building with a faint glow of lantern beamed through the lone window, the ground covered with a mantle of white snow. You visualize yourself approaching this building, guided by that heavenly star.
Mm.
So he's kind of comparing his experience with 2,000 years
ago. Yeah, it's like the Gospel of St. Luke.
Yeah. So he poses the question, is this all fantasy? Well, almost, but not quite. Anyway, the inspiration came from a graphic description of a glorious holiday season almost 100 years ago at the City of Rocks stage station.
I'll be darned.
Now I'm going to mention these names. Charles Walgamott.
I've heard that name.
Oh, you have heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he told in his book, he has a book called Six Decades Back, and it's about his experiences as a young man working at this historic stage depot.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he's long since passed away, and the book is out of print. I don't think I've ever seen one, but I've got some of his stories. But his story became a kind of a valuable eyewitness account, recording a bit of Idaho history. So I love that because, you know, we live here and it's Idaho history. I love that.
I think I've heard many stories about Charlie Walgamont.
Yeah. He, and thank goodness he wrote a lot of them down.
Yeah, he did.
So anyway, the establishment of this colorful California Trail rest stop goes back to that day in 1868 when two brothers first came to Idaho, Charles and William Trotter. Mm-hmm. And you've heard that name too.
Mm-hmm.
They had been stage drivers almost from the start of the migration to the West. Now, among others, they'd seen service and action driving for the famous Overland Stage, part of the Ben Holiday line.
Right.
And when they first entered this territory, Bill and Charlie took employment on the stage line running from Fort Hall to Boise City.
Oh, my.
So that would have been pretty much the Oregon Trail. That direction.
So they had to come down here and then cut across and then go to Boise.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So anyway, in 1869, when the Central Pacific and the Union Pacific Railroads were joined, completing the first transcontinental transportation system, there was a lot of changes that came about, but a mail route was established from Kelton, Utah. Now, there's nothing left over there at Kelton to see, but it's just a place, just a spot, really.
Right.
There's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they established from Kelton, Utah to the Dalles, Oregon.
Really?
And that's a long...
I've done that trip many times.
Yeah. Anyway, so these guys, Charlie and Bill, they were starting to get a little bit older, the Trotter brothers, and they wanted to settle down with their families. So they decided to cater to the passengers rather than drive the stage themselves.
Wow.
So Walgamont tells how Charles took the Rock Creek Station and William Trotter took the City of Rock Station, which was 50 miles east. So they were 50 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
But the writer does not make clear if the brothers purchased or actually established these stage depots. He uses the word took. They took these stations. So it's assumed that they either purchased them or maybe they actually started them themselves.
I see.
So we're not really sure.
Okay.
But, okay, so our characters here are the Trotter brothers.
Yep.
Charles and Bill. Well, Charles Trotter, and as I mentioned, they had both taken over a stage depot, one at Rock Creek and one at the City of Rocks. Now, Charles Trotter had married the older sister of Charles Walgamont. Okay.
This is getting a little heavy here.
That's why I'm trying to go slow for you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So, Charles Walgamont, it was his brother-in-law, Charles Trotter.
Right.
Okay.
Yep, got it.
Got it. Okay. Now, after the brothers had taken over their respective businesses, young Walgamont, then 19, decided to come west.
Uh-huh.
He'd been back east.
Right.
He first lived with his sister and brother-in-law at the Rock Creek Station. That's where he started.
Right.
Then, in the summer of 1875, he moved to the City of Rocks Depot, where he had been offered employment for the winter. Now, this is where the early account of Christmas of 1875 comes to be.
Okay.
It was 4 years before Cajun County was even born.
Okay.
So 1875. The author describes the beauty and the joyousness of that holiday season, yet underlying is the battle with the elements and man's effort to tame the wilderness, and the account relates the severity of that winter. A colorful narrative tells how a large sleigh, drawn by several horses, was sent from the City of Rock Station to meet the eastbound stage that would come as far as it could in the snow from the Oakley
stage. How would they know? I hate to take up your time, but how would the sleigh know that perhaps the stage had got stuck in the snow?
Well, no. Now, they were coming from opposite directions.
Ah.
Okay, the Oakley stage actually was a stagecoach, and it was headed towards the City of Rocks.
Right.
The City of Rocks sleigh was going to try to meet them halfway.
They did that all the time?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, when the snow was bad, yeah. Otherwise, a stagecoach.
That sounds to me like it'd be a little chilly.
Well, again, you and I have lived here a long time, and I've been up there trying to snow ski in the blizzards and this.
Yeah.
You got to wonder how much fun it is, you know, at a certain point. But
yeah,
the wind and the snow and it gets really cold. Anyway, so what would they do? They would meet halfway, and the sleigh would unload the passengers, the mail, the express, and put it on the stagecoach and switch passengers. So the City of Rocks sleigh would turn around and head back to the City of Rocks.
And the stagecoach went back towards Salt Lake.
To Oakley.
Oakley.
So the Oakley stage coming towards City of Rocks would turn around after they'd traded passengers and freight and everything. They would go back to Oakley.
Okay.
Okay, are you
that's
with still, me?
Yeah, I am, but that's about what? How many miles? 30?
Pretty close.
Not real good miles.
No, no.
And that had to be hard on those horses.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit here, too.
Okay.
Anyway, Walgamott, the young 19-year-old, relates how his job on the sled was to, quote, run helper. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of that term, but he...
Is that kind of like shotgun?
No, actually not.
Oh.
No. He was actually seated on an outrigger or a projecting seat opposite the driver. Now, his duties included sticking down special cut willows in the snow at intervals during the journey to meet the stagecoach. The reason was to indicate the road location for the return trip. Because you know, Zeb, if the wind's blowing, it goes over the road and you don't know where you're at.
No,
you don't know if you're on the road.
You're just making me really chilly.
Yeah. I mean, it'll drift over, you know, you can't even drive down a road out here sometimes.
No.
So he would put these willows down on the way out so they'd have a landmark on the way back.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
So, and he tells of the difficulty of the horses pulling the sled in deep drifts of snow and how they floundered at times, and he, as the, quote, helper, had to get out and trample down the snow so the horses could rise again and go on. The horses would actually lay down.
Oh, my, yeah.
And he would get out and tramp the snow around the horses, and then the horses would get up, and they would take off again.
Oh.
So, anyway, now consider this. In the open sled, the passengers were covered with buffalo hides. Again, you'd want a bunch of buffalo hides, wouldn't you?
Oh, whole herd.
Yeah. And there is an account, actually, of an accident when the sled overturned.
Oh, boy.
Throwing the passengers and the crew into a snowbank. Luckily, no one was hurt, and everyone just took it as part of the fun.
Did they sing Christmas carols?
I don't know. You know, what else do you do when you're...
Yeah, my goodness!
Anyway, so leading up to that special Christmas, Walgamott, the author, gives an interesting account of what the City of Rock Station looked like. Now, he says, referring to the main building, so evidently there was more than one structure. Now, when I've been out there, I've only seen the foundation of one building, yeah, so to speak. So there may have been more. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But he says the sitting room or bar room was about 30 feet long east and west by some 14 feet wide. The large fireplace in the west end, the dining room, kitchen, and three bedrooms.
No
kidding. Can you kind of picture that? I mean, that just sounds inviting, doesn't it?
Who got the bedrooms?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if they flipped a coin or what.
All right.
Anyway, so Walgamott, the author, he tells about the plans for the holiday feast of many years ago. He says as it came near Christmas time, Mrs. Trotter and the woman cook began great preparations for Christmas dinner. Turkeys were ordered from Corinne, Utah, and everything on the market was sent for. The women folks made fruit cakes and prepared to make steam pudding and mince pie.
What's steam pudding?
I don't know.
You're Dr. History.
I'm not a cook. I'm going to guess that's got to be some kind of a bread pudding. I'm just guessing.
Oh, that sounds good.
Maybe one of our listeners can tell us what a
steam
pudding and mince pie.
Okay.
I remember, and he says, I remember that they did not put cider into the mince pie. Now,
really?
I'm wondering if that means hard cider.
Yeah, I mean, you'd hate to eat a piece of pie and end up looped.
Well, maybe that was made at a better Christmas. I don't know. Anyway, so there's the story of Christmas morning with the stage arriving in a blinding snowstorm and how the sleigh was pressed into service to take the passengers, two ladies and a little girl about 12 years old.
Oh, my.
This was the trip where the accident happened, but as previously mentioned, everyone took it with the spirit of Christmas. The winterized mode of Pioneer Transportation met the stage on time and then without delay proceeded to return to the City of Rock stage station where a great, big, wonderful Christmas dinner was waiting for him.
You know, why would travel over the mountains, literally, from Salt Lake all the way to here? Why in the wintertime? I mean, why couldn't they say, well, we better wait till April or so?
Well, you know how we are, Zeb. If we're heading to Utah, we check the weather, and if it's bad, we're not going to go.
No.
You try to go over Sweetser Summit or over the Blue Mountains into Oregon.
I can't imagine what the trails and the pathways for these stages was. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Right. And again, if going into Oregon over the Blue Mountains, that can be terrible.
Along that Columbia, how cold that had to be.
Yeah.
You have just not made my day.
Well, that, you know, Christmas is so many years ago. And again, they did with what they had.
Yeah, really.
You know, I'm going to tell a story maybe next week about some things that happened in World War One and World War Two on Christmas.
Okay.
And, you know, people that have been away from home for the first time away from Christmas, maybe as a young man or a young woman, and memories of what you grew up with, what your family did. It's kind of a joyous time, but it can be kind of a sad time, too,
sometimes.
Oh, it can
be extremely melancholy.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the first time I was away from home for Christmas, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. That was the most sad time of my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you picture your family back there getting together and eating and wherever you are. It's, you know, I think
you
of our military.
Tree? Right here. The tree in front of you, Doc. Oh, my goodness. Don't let it jump out and bite you.
That looks like a Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Well, don't knock that tree. I don't know how many decades that tree is old, but that is exactly like the first tree that my mother gave me when I came to Idaho in 1969.
Oh, is that right?
And it bears a lot of remembrances.
A lot of memories.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, here and probably other places in the country, you can get a permit to go buy or chop down your own Christmas tree.
I have the recipe for steam pudding.
Oh.
Deanne just pulled it off.
Okay.
Here we go. I'm just going to give you what's in it. Butter for greasing, custard to serve optional. And for the topping, you take 4 tablespoons of jam, strawberry preferably, or marmalade, and golden syrup or chopped stem ginger, or 200 grams of 7-ounce canned fruit, drained and roughly chopped, and you mix it all together and you come up with steam pudding.
Okay.
Boy, it sounds
interesting.
Really good.
I don't know that I would jump on that one. I would try it. I would taste it.
But you know, in the old days, Christmas wasn't about presents.
No.
It was about maybe a nice meal with friends or even having a meal.
Yes.
Like these people up at the stage station. My goodness, at way out in the remote wilderness, my goodness, they must have been just thankful to have a fire.
Yeah, and as I described that cabin, you know, doesn't that cabin just sound kind of warm and inviting
coming
out of a snowstorm?
But not to the point of having to go through what they did to get there.
No.
Okay. So next week you're going to talk about being away from home.
Yes. I've got a couple of stories about World War One and World War Two that are kind of some Christmas stories that that I think you're going to like.
You know, one of the things you ought to talk about, and I've only got a minute left here and then I got to do a commercial break, but the people the clothing. What did they wear to keep warm and their feet warm and dry? They didn't have the fancy new shoes that we have now for winter wear and water and everything else. What did they do?
But, you know, the best prepared, of course, were the mountain men.
Yeah.
You know, because they had the boots and one thing that were made by the Indians, and most likely.
Yeah.
And so they were the best prepared.
Wow.
I'm sure.
We could do a whole story on clothing.
Yes.
Yeah. We ought to.
I'll see what I can do there.
Okay, Doc.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.